Welcome to A Look at the Arts. I'm Tom Lounges, and today my guest is trombonist, arranger, songwriter Jimmy Panko, who's been making music for 5 decades as a co-founder of the recently inducted Rock and Roll Hall of Fame group, Chicago. That opening song was Alive Again. It's one of those classic Chicago songs written by Jimmy. It's from the album Hot Streets. Welcome, Jimmy.
Thank you, Tom. Pleasure to be with you.
Congratulations on the induction. You and Robert Lamb, both from Chicago, being inducted
into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Quite an honor. How are you feeling?
Humble and honored and excited. I am finally validated for a life's work. This is really a terrific moment in my life, actually, as a musician and a composer. It's always been the song that leaves its mark on the public, and apparently this body of work has permeated generations and become meaningful to many people on many levels. Little did we know when we sat at a piano and tested these personal moments that it would become a mantra for people all over the world. So Here we are being recognized for having done that for our 50th anniversary and the culmination of a half a century of work. And it's very thrilling. I'm very humbled as well by the company I am now joining, some of the greatest songwriters in history. And this is really terrific. It's a personal honor for us as composers rather than the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which was also amazing. Mm-hmm. But that was a band recognition. This is more a personal recognition and indeed very special to be included among the greatest songwriters in history. And I never would have dreamed, Tom, that this would have happened to me.
Thank you.
tune with Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. My guest tonight is Jimmy Panko of Chicago, founding member, trombonist. Jimmy, along with Robert Lamb of Chicago, was just inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame, and that song you just heard, that was the staple in the 1970s at proms and dances everywhere. Color My World is one that came from his pen. Jimmy, was getting into the Songwriters Hall of Fame something that you worked towards or petitioned for?
I'm so busy, focused on the work at hand. The band still does 120 to 150 shows a year. So I am so preoccupied with the schedule and getting from one show to another that I really am not focused on any kind of awards or recognition for this stuff. But I guess if you stay at it long enough, people are going to take notice, and that's what's happened generally.
Color My World, which you just heard, features the late, great Terry Kath on vocals, perhaps one of his best moments in the band. And, of course, I opened the show with Alive Again, a classic track that you wrote right after the band lost Terry, from the 1978 album Hot Streets, which, of course, was a very important and transitional album. Alive Again was a declaration of sorts for the band Chicago, in much the same way that Back in Black was for AC/DC after the death of Bon Scott. You guys were going through a multitude of changes. Of course, your longtime producer, James Gershio, was no longer with you. You had just started working with the amazing Phil Ramone. You were going through record label issues, and it was a very transitional, very important record. Alive Again is one that you wrote. Let's talk a little bit about that song, that album, and that period of the band's career.
Well, you know, when Terry left us, much too early, by the way, he was 31 years old. It was a tragic loss. It was a game ender, or it could have been.
Mm-hmm.
We had to make a decision. As you said, we were in limbo in terms of a record label. We got together and we talked about what the future would hold for us. And I think everybody realized that we still had a lot to say. We had a responsibility to not only ourselves as a band, but even more importantly to our fans who had followed us and been loyal to us all those years. The loss of Terry, I think, became a catalyst to work even harder, and we feel that he would have approved of carrying the band and its legacy as far as we could take it. And here we are. Terry's been gone for many years, and I'm sure he's smiling down at what we've accomplished since his passing. You know, he's gone physically, but his spirit is alive and well. You know, it's this Midwestern work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do? You hang up the cleats and throw in the towel and walk away? Or do you meet the challenge and fulfill your destiny? Well, we chose the latter. And Alive Again was part of that Hot Streets album that we recorded shortly after his passing. And, you know, I was sitting at the piano. We were putting songs together for that record. And Terry's presence was with me, you know. And somehow, perhaps, I felt a need to allegorically speak to his passing and his, I think, approval that we kept the ball rolling. And Alive Again is a poetic tip of the hat to Terry's spirit being alive and well in the band and the band moving forward to accomplish that next chapter. So yeah, the spirit moved me. Terry was sitting next to me on the piano bench, probably, and that song kind of encompassed where our heads were at the time. We had decided to grab the bull by the horns and keep going. Live Again was a song about that energy, that goal, and that desire to be better than ever. And Terry was right there with us.
Now, that would also mark the change in producers. Phil Ramone came on board. James Gershio, who had been with you for the first 11 albums, had stepped down or had parted ways for whatever reasons. Was that a decision that came because of starting over, so to speak, continuing the next chapter?
Well, you know, the Gershio relationship had, I think, run out of gas on some levels, and, you know, it was time for a change. We felt that we, you know, Terry was no longer with us. Columbia Records, for a various reasons, we had to agree to disagree. That relationship had changed. People in the company had changed. Our goals, our musical visions had changed, and we needed a breath of fresh air. So we were in major transition. The loss of a key player in the band, leaving the label, and needing a producer, needing a label, and needing a replacement for Terry happened at once, basically, and we had a lot of work to do. We had a lot of decisions to make. The Hot Streets album was a very sensitive project because of all of these new parameters.
Mm-hmm.
And it was scary as well because there were no guarantees. We went into the studio with Phil Ramone, and that was probably the one element that gave credence to our efforts. Phil, it was a veteran producer. He had produced some of the biggest names in the business. So by his agreeing to come on board with that album, it gave us new hope and new energy. And I don't think anybody else could have accomplished making an album with all of those question marks in our heads other than Phil Ramone. So he was a very valuable asset to us at that time. The album came out, Alive Again. It was a hit from the album. I believe No Tell Lover broke out, and the album enjoyed a modicum of success. But that album was the first release that represented this new chapter in the band. We had found a replacement for Terry, a guy by the name of Donnie Dacus, who didn't last very long. Terry was not an easy musician to replace because he was so amazingly talented. We had to find not only a guitar player, but a vocalist in Bill Champlin, who also was with the band for many years. And so it took two guys to cover what Terry represented before that.
Right.
And, you know, we put one foot in front of the other. The next thing you know, we signed with Irving Azoff, Full Moon Warner Brothers, and released an album on his label. It went then to Warner Brothers, Full Blown. We found David Foster. We made three albums with David, 16, 17, and 18. And Hard to Say I'm Sorry was the breakout single from Chicago 16 that really put the band back on the map because it was number one. It was a big song. And then that followed with You're the Inspiration, Hard Habit to Break, and we were back.
You know our love was meant to be the kind of love to last forever. And I want you here with me. Tonight until the end of time.
The Inspiration, a great song from the Chicago catalog that marked a big change in the sound that we were used to from the multi-member band. Jimmy Panko, co-founder of Chicago, their lifelong trombonist and songwriter, is my guest here on Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges, and Jimmy, the Chicago sound is definitely broken up into different chapters or segments, if you will.
We look at this career in eras. I mean, these albums represent eras in the band's music, and we've been through so many game changes and through so many changes in the business that we had to stay focused on the music and let the business do what it does. And here we are, all these years later. Record companies are gone. The record business is over as we knew it, mm-hmm. The traditional record business. And people are making records digitally now on laptop computers, and they're selling their own songs. And, you know, it's another world now.
Yep, definitely.
The band's ethic, however, has not changed. We still consider our fans our most important asset. Without them, Tom, nothing means anything. I said that at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We're up on stage with Cheap Trick, Deep Purple, Steve Miller, and, you know, none of us would have been up on that stage if it weren't for the fans that gave importance to what we do. So that has not changed. If people didn't care, it wouldn't matter.
Right. And, of course, you've got your 36th album that came out about 2 years ago, Chicago Now, 36. Incredible volume of material you guys have done. Let's play a song from that you wrote or co-wrote, and that is Love Lives On. Is there a story behind this before we play it, Jimmy?
It's a song about something existing beyond this plane.
Okay?
Right. I mean, we have relationships on this earthly plane, but they go beyond the physical plane. Love Lives On is recognition of the fact that deep feelings live well past the physical plane, and it's intangible and it's everlasting. It's basically a song about the permanence of love and spirituality.
What was I to you? Maybe to show you how truly beautiful you are. Yeah, even though you've heard it forever, from the right one, well, it's kind of like the weather. It becomes the truth. And what were you to me? That is a question that will truly take forever to explain. Just know that what we have in time will travel. You see, things like this, they never quite unravel. They weave into our dreams. Love lives on. The path that follows has no limit. Everything we do goes beyond. And even what we leave behind us, someday we'll come back to find us. I'm telling you that we're that strong. What we had is never gone. Love. I know that will never happen in this world again. Yeah, we were more than just each other's cheap attraction. So don't you ever think that you were some distraction. 'Cause time will bear to prove. Love lives on. The path that follows has no limit. Everything we do. story will begin. I'll be out when you look up at the stars at night. Just feel me in their faintest light, 'cause they'll know where I am.
Recent music from Chicago, Love Lives On, off the Chicago Now, Chicago 36 album. My guest is Jimmy Panko. He's a founding member, trombonist, songwriter, and arranger, in fact, a jack of all trades when it comes to the band Chicago. He's been there since that first album in 69, and he's still with them now. Jimmy, let's talk about the band's recording future. Chicago Now, Chicago 36, came out in 2014. It's now 2017. Are you planning any new group recordings, any songwriting going on, things like that?
Songwriting will never stop. We're manifesting new songs as we speak. In fact, we just had some talk with Rhino, who now owns the catalog,
right,
who is a division of Time Warner. And we're talking about projects moving forward of perhaps classic covers of remasters of old music that enhance the approach to this music that in the day, back when these albums were originally made, were not possible because they were recorded on 8 or 16 tracks.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at a new era now. I mean, digital recording is limitless.
Right,
people can make records now, Tom, in their home. You don't even have to be a musician. A lot of the techno pop, the synth pop that is popular today, is nothing but programmers that put this stuff together.
Right.
So it might be cool to look at doing organic remakes of some of this stuff and do them the old-fashioned way with real musicians.
So you're talking about taking some of the newer hits and re-recording them Chicago style.
There's nothing written in stone for this, Tom. Let me reiterate. First of all, we're so darn busy, I don't know if we'll even have the time to approach it. And we're thinking, you know, of even, you know, this is, again, just an idea of maybe inviting other classic artists and do an all-star organic remake of some of these synth-pop hits with veteran musicians. Maybe calling in some heavy hitters like Bruno Mars or John Mayer or people that do it the real way,
mm-hmm.
people that are around today but are organic, that could make this music human.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a concept that we're kind of looking at that would be fun to do if we had time.
Well, that's a pretty interesting concept. And, of course, doing creative covers is nothing new for Chicago. Let's go back a number of years and your take on the Spencer Davis classic, I'm a Man. More with Chicago's Jimmy Panko when we come back.
Yeah.
working a classic Spencer Davis song that is Chicago, and I'm a Man. I'm Tom Lounges, and we've got the man with us, Jimmy Panko, founding member, trombonist, arranger, songwriter of the classic band Chicago. Has been with them since that first album back in 1969, Chicago Transit Authority, and is still with them now. We were just talking with Jimmy about the future of Chicago's recordings, talking about maybe doing a covers album. And Jimmy, what else is next for Chicago? What's on the horizon? What are some things you'd like to perhaps see happen, even if you want to speculate a little bit?
Chicago continues to render songs, and there's a bunch of different ideas that we have floating around that we're looking at in terms of getting new product out there. We're even looking at ideas of taking this music under the stage, maybe doing a book that would capture this in a genre of Broadway musical, perhaps.
Mm.
So there's different approaches that we could utilize, maybe doing a movie soundtrack,
mm-hmm.
you know, and making the album of that embodies this film, you know. So there are, you know, the possibilities are endless. The band is slamming. We will be out all summer with our buddies, the Doobie Brothers. I mean, you know, little did we know that 50 years later, the band would be in more demand and busier than ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the movie, Now More Than Ever, which the documentary
right.
was world premiered on CNN on New Year's Day, that put a face on the Chicago logo. For all these years, we've been hiding behind that stylized logo. Finally, people had a chance to see the guys that were responsible for this music. They got to know us a little bit by seeing this film, by hearing the story narrated by the people who lived it. It put a face on the band. Between that and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the visibility has increased tenfold. And the band and its legacy have become even more meaningful because there's a personal identity now.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to take advantage of this new familiarity that the fans are enjoying. You know, take this as far as we can.
For the listeners, the film that we're talking about, Now More Than Ever, The History of Chicago, is now available on DVD and Blu-ray. So you can pick it up as well if you missed the broadcast on New Year's Day.
We're not really happy with the idea of resting on our laurels. Saturday in the Park, Color My World, and You're the Inspiration, all amazing songs. People pay their hard-earned money to come hear those songs live. We continue to perform them very well, and people celebrate those songs. But there's more to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, you know, there's film, there's theater, there's there's remasters of current music that is possible. So we're looking at all of this.
Okay.
And, you know, all I can say is stay tuned. Most importantly, Chicago is far from, we're far from giving up and throwing in the towel. As long as the band is viable, we're going to do things that melt our creative butter, and we're going to surprise the audience in as many ways as we can to keep it fresh and exciting.
I like that term, melt our creative butter. That's great. That's a great line. Of course, we can keep up with all these things at chicagotheband.com, correct? Because you guys are very active on that website.
ChicagoTheBand.com.
Okay.
That tells you everything Chicago and everything you want to know.
Jimmy, Chicago is out on the road this summer with the Doobie Brothers, and it's always been a tradition for Chicago, like when you're out with Earth, Wind, and Fire, that at the end of the show, you guys get together, both bands come out, and you do each other's songs as the encore. Now, from a fan perspective, that's an awesome way to end a show. From a musician and an arranger's perspective, that very easily could turn into a train wreck.
Well, you know, I think the most difficult part of the end, that finale, as we call it, is a button on the show. You know, it's special. It's something that we do that I don't think anybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you combine both acts, and you do each other's biggest hits together. And it's very special because people would never have had a chance to see those big hits performed by both of the artists together. And it's bigger than life. The most difficult part of it is staying out of each other's way. When we did the finale with Earth, Wind, and Fire, Verdeen White and I were next to each other, and we don't stand still. I think my trombone was in the shop every other week because of banging into Verdeen or me banging into him, because there's 20 guys up there, and you're just trying to stay out of each other's way while you're focusing really on entertaining that audience.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know where you are on stage, because next thing you know, you're bumping into somebody, or you're backing into somebody, or there's you know, a danger of falling off the riser, and you got to be careful. You have to keep one eye on what you're doing and the other one on the business at hand. But we've learned how to manage that large number of people on stage to the degree that there wasn't any train wrecks. And it was no easy task because of limited space. So you not only have to know the music, you have to know your marks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it becomes a doubly difficult process. Once you do it a few times, like anything, you know, it becomes more comfortable. And after having done it a half a dozen times with Earth, Wind, and Fire, we got it down to a science where we felt very comfortable and very natural. And when it gets comfortable, that's when it becomes more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have to worry anymore. You don't have to be preoccupied by being at the right place at the right time.
Right.
You can be fully focused on that crowd and that energy. And I'm telling you, the hair stood up on the back of my neck every time I walked up on that stage. And those people were over the moon when they see all of that going on. And of course, there's the production,
mm-hmm.
you know, the amazing video and the choreography of all these people doing synchronized moves on stage from song to song. It becomes a major production. You know, we've joked about what a great Super Bowl halftime show this would be. Earth, Wind, and Fire in Chicago would be amazing.
Certainly
it's also
would.
A great message for this politically correct, crazy idea that is going on these days. You know, it's a bunch of African-American guys and a bunch of white guys up there. There are no color barriers. There is no animosity. There's no prejudice. It's people of color and a bunch of Caucasian guys with no focus or attention paid whatsoever to political correctness. It's just a bunch of musicians having a great time and feeling like brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And what a great message that would be, politically and socially, as well as musically.
Are you going to be doing more shows with Earth, Wind, and Fire after this summer tour with the Doobies?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're not done working with them. I mean, it's too amazing. But we don't do it every year because we don't want to do it too much.
Right, right.
So we kind of mix it up. We're out with the Doobies this summer. We've been out with them several times, and they're fun as well. Again, another veteran classic act. And people are going to experience another great show. We've done it with REO Speedwagon. We've done it with Huey Lewis, you know, and it works. It works. Somehow, you know, 1 + 1 = 3.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
People go crazy because where else would they get a chance to see veteran artists collaborate live on stage? The finale shows that it's not about who's opening up and who's closing. It's about two powerful acts that are there to perform together.
Indeed, it does work. Let's go back to 2009 right now. The album's called Serve Four. It's Artists Against Hunger and Poverty. And it's Earth, Wind, and Fire and Chicago teaming up on You. I'll be back a final time with Jimmy Pankow.
Song page man lives on dimes, only surviving half the time. You never know your future. What if his past belongs to you? All the people just walk by. No one cares and no one tries to change his situation. So why don't you take the chance and be that change? You, no one but you. True to the power of the claim that maybe the change. And you might be asking, how can I bring light to dark and joy to pain? Sun until the rain is true. You know that love won't make it on its own. Well, you need somebody to make it known. Well, it's up.
That's Earth, Wind, and Fire and Chicago coming at you from 2009 off an album called Serve 4, Artists Against Hunger and Poverty. I'm Tom Lounges. You're listening to Midwest Beat. My guest tonight has been Jimmy Panko. He is a founding member, trombonist, songwriter, arranger of the classic Midwest band Chicago, multi-platinum artist. Jimmy, is there anything we haven't touched on that you'd like to let people know?
I think we've covered the bases very well. I will say that I am a very lucky guy, and the band is very fortunate, again, to have had the opportunity to enjoy a career of over half a century and be able to manifest music that gives us joy and that prints through to a global audience who celebrates this music every day with us. And man, we love those fans. Those fans are our lifeblood. And you know, as long as the door is open and the band is slamming, which it is, there is nothing that isn't possible. So stay tuned for the next chapter.
All right. Well, Jimmy, congratulations once again on being inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame, along with your Chicago bandmate, Robert Lamb. A big, big, big honor. And thank you for all the music over the years. And most of all, thank you for being here for so long on the radio program. Do appreciate your time.
Yeah, I appreciate yours too, man. And again, you're undoubtedly a fan yourself. I'm very impressed with the homework you've done. The questions you've asked are obvious that you are a student of the music. And I appreciate your interest very much. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
And it was a real pleasure speaking with you, Tom.
We will keep up with you at chicagoband.com.
Okay, Tom. Thank you so much. Take care.
All right. You too. Bye-bye, Jimmy.
All righty. Bye-bye.